Thanks for joining us. You're listening to the Life Church Podcast. In these episodes, you will hear encouraging messages from our weekend services. If you'd like to know more about us, watch a live stream, or find the closest Eastern Iowa campus near you, go to lifechurchnow.org.
Hey, I'm a big college basketball fan. Anyone else? So I love this time of year. It is awesome. I am particularly a great big Hawkeye women's basketball fan. Anybody else? Yep. And Christy and I were huge fans before Caitlin Clark showed up. The benefits are just bigger now. So we love that. It's maybe you've been to the Carver Hawkeye Arena this year, or maybe you've seen probably on television screen somewhere, crowds lined up, all of that stuff. You've seen the replays and people going wild. And if you've ever been in that kind of scenario, when you get thousands of people, 15,000 in this case, all cheering together, it is quite an atmosphere. And that's a little bit like what's going on in the story today. I'm going to have you turn to, if you will, to John 12. We'll start at verse 12. It'll be on the screen also. We're going to talk about when palm branches aren't enough. Okay? And that might sound good to you because maybe you don't have any palm branches. So, but if you grew up in churches like I did, we had palm branches. We waved them around on this Sunday and all that. But let's go to John chapter 12, verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written in the Old Testament, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming." See, the donkey's colt. Now, here's some things. Here are things we know, here are things we don't know. We know that Jesus had just recently, in the past couple of days, has raised Lazarus back from the dead. So there's lots of clamor, lots of people around him. He had really drawn a lot of attraction. He already had anyway, but this just made it all the more. And so the festival, the Jewish Passover festival feast, all those kind of things were one time a year, big deals, people going to Jerusalem from all over the Jewish provinces. And so somehow the word got out that he was coming in this manner. And here's what we don't know. We don't know what they thought exactly. But we do know that they expected that he was the Messiah, the coming king, the one who was going to release them from all this ridiculous Roman rule and establish an earthly kingdom that no one could overcome, because he was going to be the Messiah, the chosen one of God, the deliverer, the salvation provider in that sense. So that's the atmosphere. Moving on. Now, the crowd that was with Jesus when he called Lazarus forth from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "This isn't getting us anywhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." And you know, if you are in different parts of the country and you're a great big women's basketball fan and you have a team that you're really rooting for, it just may be an irritant that the Hawkeyes get so much media press. And I would get that. And you know, when the focus is on one person so much as it is, I think these are really so. But, you know, there's just a little, we're over this. Here's where the rulers of the Jewish people were at. They were of no interest in having somebody who was going to take their place of authority. And certainly this Jesus did not fit any kind of comprehension that they had about what the Messiah, the chosen one, was supposed to be. I mean, look at this, for crying out loud. Here he comes, and we call this Palm Sunday because of the palms. It wasn't called that then. It was just an interruption to the importance of what really was going on that the Jewish authorities just couldn't comprehend and didn't want. In fact, they had already put out a hit on Jesus. And Lazarus, you find out in other instances of this account, and they were looking to shut this whole deal down. So that was the scenario. But here's the deal. We know that Jesus, several days later, would be killed and raised from the dead and bring salvation to everyone, not just those in the Jewish realm. And it was a salvation that was spiritual. It was not in physical territory. However, those who were watching this did not comprehend that. And even if they got the fact that the king was coming on this donkey, they maybe did or didn't know the Old Testament scripture. Some did, probably some did not, that this was a prophecy about Jesus. So whether they were just following Jesus because of all the clamor, or they're following Jesus because they really thought that he might be the Messiah, and this kind of said so, given the fact that prophecy was being fulfilled, what they did get wrong is what manner of kingdom Jesus was coming to bring. We see this in the Bibles that are printed today. It's labeled the triumphal entry in many cases. And so that's how they saw it, triumphant. Jesus was coming to reign. He was going to shut this party down that came from the Romans, their authority and rule, and take over. And they were going to be out of that stuff. So people cheering. Fabulous. The reception of him was very public. The rejoicing was very public. And the Roman overthrow, they were certain, was going to be very public. Okay. The people missed a number of things. First, here comes Jesus on a donkey. Now, they might have been a little perplexed about this, on a donkey. Not on a majestic horse and a chariot, or maybe even up high, lofty on a camel, but this awe-inspiring, flamboyant donkey. Now, it was apparently a donkey that had never been ridden before in other versions of the gospel writers. It references two. A donkey and the colt of a donkey, perhaps the mother, and bringing this foal, this colt along to keep it calm. But here he comes. There are no chariots, no soldiers, no flamboyant robes. Everything that was going to happen was going to, in the next several days, would wipe out this celebration, no matter how they got to the place where they assumed that's what was going to happen. So on public display, just like him coming into Jerusalem, was going to be betrayal, arrest by force, false charges, unjust conviction, brutal pain and gory beating, think Mel Gibson. Public mockery in the midst of spikes being driven through his hands and his feet, and death by that excruciating crucifixion. We know now that through this turn of events, what comes next. Next Sunday, we'll celebrate his resurrection. But sometimes in the midst of where we're at in life, the celebration goes silent. Now, we often, especially as believers, we hear certain things. We read certain promises in Scripture, and all of God's promises are true. Whenever God says anything, he's right. But then we run into some things and we realize we're still living in this constrained, imperfect world and trying to live in our faith. And so the challenge is then, what then? How do we live life well when we run into great disappointment, our enthusiasm being dashed, our plans and expectations being trampled to death, and we being left perplexed? What then? Now, sometimes these are very serious, and sometimes they're not all that serious. I remember 2 years ago, about this very time of year, Christy and I went to the first round of the Iowa women's NCAA tourney basketball games, and so they also were held at Carver Hawkeye Arena because the top 16 total seeds get to host the first round. And so the Hawkeyes had, the expectations were high. The Hawkeyes had won their first game of that first round, and now they were at the second game of that round, and obviously they were going to win that and march on. Except Creighton had other ideas. And a ghastly beat the Hawkeyes on their home court, and that was over. Now, we know some other things that have happened since then, but right at that moment, it was all over. I mean, the world had ended, if you were a Hawkeye women's basketball fan. Now, that's a really minor thing. It's not a really earth-shaking thing. But the point is, there's often lots of things that happen that just don't turn out the way we thought. Maybe you've got a serious illness that crept up. Maybe someone in your family died who wasn't supposed to die. Maybe you lost your job, but a job you had for 13 years, and the company had to downsize. Your job disappeared. So did your income. Maybe you've been working those 13 years, and there's a job opening coming up, higher up, a promotion you apply for, the interview goes really well as far as you're concerned, and someone else gets the promotion. You were sure you worked all this time and your efforts were going to pay off, and in John 12, 24, Jesus says, and I didn't put this up here, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. See, Jesus was modeling for us death. Now, he obviously was doing a spiritual death, and he had to for the salvation and the forgiveness of our sins. But he's also modeling for us the way we had to go, which is a spiritual death to ourselves, our own desires, our priorities. And so the reality is he goes on in all of Scripture to show that if you will die in your realm of influence, great life has the ability to spring forth. Great impact to other people if you get yourself out of the way. Now, please understand, no eternal life is coming from us. Jesus is the only one who gave eternal life out of his death. But he is calling for us to have a life that is far beyond what we know in and of ourselves. In fact, he says, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And what is it in there, but maybe should be for us, given our predisposition to doubt things? I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly now. Now, so you're going to have to die. Wonderful. Which means expectations, hopes, our own dreams sometimes have to die. It's painful. But it's the pathway, says the Scripture, says Jesus in John, to abundant life. So here's the question. Are you experiencing a life of abundance? Now, Jesus knew, and we all know, that he's going to be resurrected and it's going to provide salvation for all. But his followers didn't understand that. They didn't really get his impending death. And they sure didn't comprehend a resurrection, even those of him, especially even of those who had just seen Lazarus raised from the dead. But Jesus certainly was preparing for his own physical death, no doubt, fulfillment of his responsibility. But he was also preparing his children, his followers, for life without him after his resurrection. John 14, verse 16 says, Jesus, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, counselor, helper, to help you and be with you forever. That is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And it goes on, it says, the world cannot accept him, this Spirit of truth, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives within you and will be in you. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. All this I have spoken while with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I have said to you. And that's how I'm going to continue to show myself to you. Continuing on. All this, says Jesus, I told you so that you will not fall away. Here's the truth. They will put you out of the synagogue. The time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. The party's over. The palm branches will not do you any good in those circumstances. But I have told you this, so that when their time comes, you will remember, who's going to remind you? The Holy Spirit. We were already told, teach you and remind you, that I warned you about them. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you, he will teach you, he will remind you into all of the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And I will glorify myself. It is from me that he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known, teach, remind you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. All right, a big emphasis is on, I'm not going to be here. You're going to need some extra help. The palm branches aren't going to help you. You can wave all you want, but your problems are still there. Okay? You can put the palm branches over your eyes, and so you don't see anything, but the problems are still there. There's nothing wrong with celebrating. There's nothing wrong with partying. There's nothing wrong with rejoicing in great things, but life isn't all rejoicing. It isn't all celebration. It isn't all party. And we all know that. This is not new to us. But sometimes we have a little difficulty putting ourselves into Scripture, seeing ourselves here, seeing this applying to us personally. But what he says is this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Here's a real newsbreaker right here. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. All right, so he's preparing us for a period of time, the disciples, and for us now in a time when he's not present, but he wants us to have an abundant life in the midst of some real, pardon me, crap. So, have you experienced any trouble? Are you experiencing trouble? Are there some things on the scene that are making you anticipate trouble is coming? In 2008, where I was pastoring as an associate pastor, the person, the lead pastor, was retiring, and he turned the church over to somebody else he brought from the outside, who very summarily wrecked the place. But we left before all that happened, and I went to start a couple of businesses, and one I already had going, and it was flipping houses, and I was doing okay at that as fast as I could because I still had a full-time job. So it wasn't real fast, and I was a novice. But the last one that I had, I ended up getting stuck with for a year and losing my shirt because in 2008, the economy tanked. But here's what had happened. In the beginning of the year, I also, now having lost this other job, said, well, you know what? I got my resume out, and I had a couple of interviews. I had one pretty decent temp job, and I was hoping it would turn into something else. But all of me, I've been praying, and I'd seen this opportunity, and these were Christian people, and I thought, well, it would be great, wouldn't it, God, for me to be wealthier for the kingdom's sake, of course. And it's interesting how God answers our prayers, or at least leads us in the direction that will teach us what he wants to teach us. Because he seemed to say yes. That's how I interpret this. So I borrowed a great big money and invested in this business and discovered quickly some things that they didn't say that were different than my situation. And by the end of the year, I was out of business and financially ruined. Many of you know what that's like. You're in the midst of something and say, well, I didn't go like I expected. And I'm smiling and kind of laughing about it now, but I mean, it's a real gut wrencher, isn't it? All kinds of things, whatever it might be. Luke 24:49, Jesus says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. This is reiterated again in the next book after John in Acts 1. It says this, on one occasion while Jesus was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, the Holy Spirit. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of you start to go a little nervous. I see you quaking inside. I get it. We'll address some things here in just a minute. But let me say this, for those who've had bad teaching or Satan has given you bad information, hear this. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not about tongues. It is about power. Tongues is one of the gifts that's necessary. It's part of a whole release of gifts that can be available to all believers. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which Jesus promised, is for power. Now, what is power? That sounds like something that could be really abused. Power in the Holy Spirit gives you two things primarily. The ability to produce the fruit of the Spirit in the midst of crap. Fruit grows really well in the midst of crap, by the way. Can, right? And the release of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about abundant life. In the midst of what doesn't look like abundant life. But the provision is baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, let's make sure we understand one thing very quickly. No one's confused about this. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you put your trust in Him and say, I accept that Jesus died for me and He's a provision for my salvation. I accept the gift of salvation through Him. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you. The presence of the Holy Spirit has a name, and it's the presence of God has a name, and it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God present today. Jesus isn't here on earth, and the Father is not here on earth. The Holy Spirit is God present in us. See, a lot of us think, have been assumed that the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. The Bible is utterly necessary, and it is God's Word. But the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There are three camps which most of us have come into, or come out of, or right now in. And one is you were raised with the talk about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, miraculous, all those kinds of things. And so, no big issue for you. Here's another one. Like so many, the Holy Spirit's just not even taught about. It's a part of baptism. I'm baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But what is learning by the Holy Spirit? Not much. Or here's the third category. This is where I came out of many years ago now. You were taught the Holy Spirit talk is evil. If you hear anybody talking to make a big deal about the Holy Spirit, run! Now, here's the deal. There are a lot of people who you perhaps have run into. I did. This is Satan's wonderful strategy. Who cross your path who are just flat out weird, and they talk about the Holy Spirit all the time. Robert Morris says this, and I love Robert Morris. He says, if you encounter someone talking about the Holy Spirit is weird, they probably would have been weird without the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is your friend, and He's not weird. Maybe a little unknown for us, but not weird. Okay, so here's the deal you need to know. Satan is very disappointed, angry, mad when he loses you to Jesus by way of salvation. If you go into his, you walk out of his kingdom into Jesus' in salvation, that's a loss for him. But he has a backup strategy. If he loses you to salvation, he'll at least try to make you less effective than you can be. One of his greatest tools is to make people, all Christians, scared to death about this and ignorant about this whole baptism in the Holy Spirit. Because you understand, and we teach this in our launch step, briefly in some major doctrines that we believe, that we believe baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate act apart from salvation. Sometimes they happen at the same time, but they're separate things. You get saved, and then you have the power to be ability to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. For what reason? For tongues, which is what everyone is weird. No. For power, which includes all the gifts, and a greater ability for the fruit to grow up in you. Now, I didn't say you couldn't be fruitful without baptism in the Holy Spirit or understanding it the way we teach it, but there's an avenue available for to maximize who you are and your potential in the Lord with baptism in the Holy Spirit. Well, what in the world is that? Here's let me next slide here. We have an experience, a day-long event. It's from 9 to on a Saturday to 4 p.m. It's called we call it the Holy Spirit Experience. That itself might sound weird, but it's a marketing tool, so sorry. The Holy Spirit Experience. But in there, And this is coming up in just a month, so you can go to the website and sign up if you're ready to do that now. You'll learn in depth a whole lot about stuff that no one ever told you, or you've been confused about, or you've been taught that's been weird, flaky, strong. See, the problem is, if you come out of a Bible teaching background, people who believe the Bible and look into the Bible, there's some stuff that you run into with some of these, what I call charismaniacs, who say things that you go, well, I don't want to deny God's power, but that's screwy. That's not in the Bible that way. I mean, I've encountered people talk about being slain in the Spirit. And I'm saying, I'm sorry. I would really like miraculous power in my life, but I find nowhere in the Bible where it says God kills his people. And so, you know, language and stuff gets all mixed up and is barriers to us because people haven't been taught well. So in this would be the fullest scope and detail of teaching that we provide all in one setting. So I'll just leave that there. But here's the deal. How do you receive the baptism in? And by the way, it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's not the baptism of. The Holy Spirit is not doing the baptism. It's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus says this, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. I'm pretty sure none of you have ever done this with your children. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear daughter. Here's a scorpion for you. See, it just doesn't fit. God gives good gifts to his children. Then it says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I understand lots of people think the baptism of the Holy Spirit was only brought, or this teaching was only brought, and it was installed with the disciples and no more of it. I'm just wondering, have you ever seen Christians, or have you ever felt Christians in today's society who doesn't seem like they're living in abundance? Who are powerless, who haven't really progressed much more beyond when they came to salvation in Jesus? Is it possible some of the power has been forfeited because of fear, bad teaching, the great desire to not make a mistake? See, I get all that. A number of us have come out of that kind of background. I helped chase a guy out of the seminary I went to. I mean, I'm serious. I helped chase a guy out of our seminary. Made it so unbearable for him because he believed this stupid stuff that he finally withdrew. And I've repented of that many times. I mean, you only have to do it once, but it's horrendous. Here's the deal. I'm going to, in a few moments, ask you to do a brave thing. Some of you, you don't have to know all the details. You didn't have to know everything about theology to say, yes, God, I receive Jesus as my Savior. You received that by faith. He said, invite him in, and he's in. Same thing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be a great big show. Who knows? I mean, some people are very emotional when they give their life to Jesus and they're born again. Some aren't. When you ask for the Holy Spirit, God will give it. It's done right then. He will give to those who ask him. You receive by faith. If you ask, you received. You don't have to jump up and down, run around the halls and go over to Hy-Vee and make a scene. Okay? It's just not how it works. Satan paints all kinds of weird pictures in our head. So in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to consider doing a brave thing. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you're willing to learn how to walk with more power and effectiveness in your Christian life, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand and repeat a prayer after me. I know, it just is really, really, seems like that's really public. Yeah. And maybe some of you don't want to do that, but I would just ask you to do that. And then I'm going to pray for you then. You'll pray after me. It doesn't have to be out loud, but you'll say the same prayer. Then we will stand together, rejoice in those who took that step, and then we'll close from there. But whether you're in Wilton, whether you're in Cedar Rapids, this is for you also, or even at home. Anyone who has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, as simply as I spoke about, and desires to today, just stand. Be brave. Amen, amen. And I was going to go around and checking credentials after the service. And did you or did you not? It's just not like that. People get weird about it. We're not weird about it, all right? All right, so those of you who are standing, thank you for those here in Wilton, in Cedar Rapids. God bless you. I'm going to ask you all to pray this, and it doesn't have to be out loud, but pray these words. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of Jesus. I rejoice in salvation. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, which is your presence with me now. But I ask for a baptism, an overwhelming of the Holy Spirit that fills me with power, releases your gifts, makes me even more productive in your kingdom. And I say, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and rejoice with you. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hallelujah. All right. If you were one of those anywhere who prayed that today, stood up, we'd love if you would just take the connection card or the online version and just let us know that, and we can pray for you a little bit more, be encouraging to you. Here's what I would love you to do. I would just love you to say, Satan, I'm believing the word of God. I believed it when he said Jesus died for my sin, and I acted in faith on that. And I have acted in faith in the fact that if I ask, God will give me the Holy Spirit. So I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now I'm asking you to just really seal this work, encourage these people, protect them from harm, but put delight in their soul that they would be able to say, I am able to live an abundant life. Not trouble-free, not problem-free, but abundance beyond what I could create, even while living in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.